The liturgical sense of the readings at Mass.
1. Are the most difficult truths that far too many people have always struggled with is believing that they were created by God to be happy. The struggle is not only is that this life is filled with opportunities for sadness and pain, but also that God, who revealed himself to us through Christ Jesus and the sacred scriptures, do not communicate happiness, or at least the type of happiness that resembles anything we are familiar with in the world. Yet, there the church has dared to remind us that God made us to know him, to love him, and to serve him in this world, and to be happy with him forever in heaven. But do we have to wait to die to be happy? No. The constant truth is that we were created in the image and likeness of God, and all that we are and all that we will be is like God. Therefore, we are called to be happy because God is happy in this life and in the next. And also, Christ Jesus too was happy because he is everything like his Father, and he is fully God and fully man and like us in every way but sin. Therefore, we must study Christ and explore his life, because if he was happy, let us then discover what happy looks like according to our Lord and God. Here, the answer is clear. Any absence of happiness in our present life only means that we are not fully present in the divine nature. That is to say that the succumbing to sin and temptation is what causes us to be less than happy. In contrast, the pursuit of holiness is the path to happiness. Indeed, this is why the prince of the world has duped us into believing that sinning is what makes us happy, and why despair, which is the gravest of sins, leads us to suicide, voluntarily canceling one's own life, the last act of a creature who has given up on obtaining true happiness. This is why the Divine Symphony, the liturgy of the Mass, is so essential to our lives, for the Mass is our path to true happiness, because the Mass is the path to holiness. Holy people are happy people because they have become or are becoming who God created them to be. The first reading of the Divine Symphony today for the sixth week in Easter for year C comes from the book of Acts, Chapter 15, verses 1 through 2 and 22 through 29. Here, at rightly the first ecumenical council of the Catholic Church, our first bishops were dealing with the question of circumcision for the Gentiles, and they listened to the Holy Spirit, who made it clear to them that the path to holiness is not to be made arduous and burdensome by the Church, for temptation makes it difficult and burdensome enough already. If you recall how happy you felt that time when your parents or your teacher or your supervisor at work made your life easier in some way by rewarding you with less work, such was the case when the Jews, who were working so hard to observe the law, heard Jesus say, "Come to me, all of you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves." So too were the Gentiles very happy that the path to salvation and holiness was open to them without any burden to be placed upon them besides those that were necessary. So too does the second reading from Revelation chapter 21, verses 10 through 14 and 22 through 23 come in to remind us how God must be happy because he wants all of us to come to his feast, his home, and his heart. In John's vision, he said the angel took him in spirit to a great high mountain and showed him the holy city of Jerusalem coming down out of the heavens from God. One might think at first that the city is unwelcoming because it had a massive high wall, John says, but no. No city that was designed to keep people out would have 12 gates. It may have 2, but definitely no more than 4. But the city of God has 12 ways to enter it, because it is for all the tribes of God's people who will be led there by the 12 apostles of the Lamb. How happy we ought to be in hearing that God wants us to come to his home, to him. And all that we need to do is follow the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world and who comes to the divine symphony to make us worthy to pass through the gates. We can say that succinctly, the apostles were teaching the Gentiles that you have a home here in the church of Christ. And for that hearing, they were happy. John was happy seeing all the gates and entryways into the new Jerusalem. And now our Lord Christ Jesus dares to say to us in today's gospel reading from John chapter 14 verses 23 through 29, whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and will come to him and make our dwelling with him. We ought to be happy hearing those words. We ought to cling to him with reckless love. But it does become difficult at times. Happiness seems like the least of our concerns. We're just trying to live, just trying to get to the next thing. Yet for this, he also says to us in today's reading, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Oh, if we truly believed in the peace of Christ Jesus and how his peace keeps us tied to the path of holiness and happiness, we would not treat the sign of peace at Mass so trivially. Nor would the church in the first few centuries have treated the kiss of peace so abominably. But this is why the liturgy given to us has always been so unique and different than the world. Why the liturgy was truly a set-apart space that gave us space from the world and calls us into our littleness so that we might find all in the otherness of God. The liturgy of the Mass was there to make us feel humble and small, and having felt like a little child before our eternal Father, we knew we were happy, happy to just commune with him in this moment that we knew was just a foretaste of a happiness that we were created for. My friends, embrace the path to holiness and happiness that a divine symphony has set before you, and live it every day. This is just one way how the readings at Mass this Sunday connect to the liturgy, and how the liturgy is forming us how to live our lives in the world. Be in the world which you have received through the liturgy. I am David L. Gray. Visit me online at davidlgray.info for more content and context about the liturgical sense of the scriptures.